brother and young people. That is when God got a hold of my heart. I had been saved, but we started working with youth right away after my salvation in the WANA program, and got up to where we were doing camps together, and always wanted to work in a camp. And I never got to do that, but full time. I applied to every camp that you can think of, and none of them would take me. And Brother Munn said, well, you just need to hang around the church and something will come up. And something did come up. It's a ministry to Seafarers, and we've been there now for 15 years, and we are blessed in that. It has been amazing. So thank you for your ministry. Very, very important, and it will pay rich dividends. And I was just getting excited listening to the testimony, brother. And I didn't know that you had a connection with Providence Baptist Bible College, but we had a pastor, somebody come through there years ago when we was in the old building, the old net shop down there at Fisherman Baptist Church came from the school. So I do remember that part of it. So anyway, I want to extend my gratitude to you folks. It's hard to leave, but I'm going to be kind of transparent. You know what that means. I think we talked about that the other night. You can see right through me. And I am not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. I try to be a soul toucher. And you have certainly done that for me this week. And I didn't expect it. I will tell you, Pastor Rocky, Miss Carol, thank you so much for your kindness. And this is a place where you come, you feel like family. And it is good. And I needed it. I will tell you that I didn't want to come here. I mean, I'm serious. I did not. Yeah. And you're stuck, and I'm going home. But anyway, pastor called me, December is a very big month for us in the ministry because we put together about 900 gift bags to put in on the ships in the month starting the 1st of December. So we put all kinds of stuff in there for them. I had so much going on. And our daughter just bought her first house. So I helped her get moved in. I think I might have mentioned this. And again, I'm just telling you how much you mean to me. But I didn't want to come. And I wrestled with that, and I asked God, what in the world is going on? Because I was, it was almost like an oppression, because I love your pastor and the ministry and the longevity and the stick-to-itiveness and the hard parts that you as a church have gone through. You've had some tragedies lately, just like I have had with my homegoing of my wife. And all those things were weighing on me. And then my mother is in hospice care in Kentucky. My stepmother is in hospice care in Denver, Colorado. And all of these things are weighing on me. And it's, Lord, I don't travel much. There's much to do. And I'm afraid I'm going to get started up there and something's going to happen. Well, guess what? Something did happen. I got revival. I just got to tell you, I have needed this. Going through what I have gone through, and I'll just tell you, when Karen went home to be with the Lord, graduated early about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, I have kept myself busy. And part of that is mourning. Part of that is not wanting to mourn. And part of that is just not wanting to get away. So maybe you have ministered to me a lot more than I've ministered to you this week. And I just want to tell you thank you. I needed it. I can't tell you how many years it's been since I just sat in a room and read a book. And read. And ate everything I wanted to eat. Everything that I could possibly need was at the tip of my fingers, And you have blessed me tremendously every night. So I'd like to come back just because it's been refreshing. Now, my throat is kind of messed up because I come from high humidity and I've been drying out. And then the wind comes from the north at about 40 miles an hour, kind of like we got in northeastern Colorado, right? And we don't get wind like this in Alabama. When we get wind like this, it's coming from the Gulf, and we got a couple days to get out of the way because it's called a hurricane. But anyway, I wanted to tell you that how much I do appreciate your ministry to me. And God is blessed. And one of my best friends is just days away from going home to be with the Lord, so I got to talk to him today. And Pastor will pick me up at the airport tomorrow, and we will go visit him. And so a lot happening. But that's life, correct? And I would tell you, as I can look back on this, don't waste your valley. Don't waste your valley. There's a purpose for it. While you're in the valley, there's provision for it. And there's a praise at the end of it. So just keep serving, please. That's what makes a difference in kids' lives, in our lives as adults. So I'm going to try to get over this, what we call down south, mully grubs, because I'm blessed and excited to be here. So anyway, we're going to look at some scripture tonight. This will be short. As you know, I told you I'm not a preacher. I just live down in the practicality of what's in front of me day to day. As we go aboard the vessels and get to share a gospel with people, I don't want to say preaching, but our life touching is usually in little spurts. And when God has something on your mind, He seems to bring the right person that you get to share it with. So, I want to talk to you tonight about, but who am I? Who am I? As you and I go through life, we are known by God for a specific purpose. And that purpose is to share what He has done for us. And it doesn't have to be deep. It doesn't have to be theological. Just like Brother Bruce said, just get the Word of God to them, like that Mongolian man. It's the Word of God that's the work, right? But He uses people like us. So if you would... I titled this, but who am I? I'm a person of many excuses, so I must be like Moses. I must be like Moses. So if you take your Bibles, please, and open it to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to read some scripture. I have three quick points and a couple things we'll talk about with each point. And then we will go home, and I will fly south. Kind of like a snowbird. Yeah. But anyway, let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of standing at this place, at this time in our lives. You don't do anything by accident. You do things on purpose. And you know the events of our life that cause us to be sensitive. And you also know the events in our life that we just can't do anything but cry out to you. Because you're our everything. But you've entrusted us with a message. And it is not only a life-changing message, but then it's an eternal one that'll pay rich, rich dividends for eons and eons to come without time, if we'll be but faithful. So bless the message tonight, just a few thoughts that we'll give. May you receive the glory and honor that you deserve. For you are our everything. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So if you would, look at Exodus chapter 3. We're going to read just a little bit, and we'll make a couple of comments here. Now, verse 1 says, Now Moses kept the flock as Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt? And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people in America and around the world, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of that land into a good land and large, into a land flowing with milk and honey, and unto the place of the Canaanite and the Hittites and Amorites and Perizzites and Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now notice verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. This sounds like a guy that's got some excuses. He's trying to what we call crawfish out of some responsibilities. I found this article in a book I was reading, and I just happened to dig it out on my way up to read on the airplane, but this comment cut me, and I said, you know, that has something that I didn't realize. But listen to what this man says. In recent research polls, an analyst were surprised to discover that Americans had two great fears: dying and public speaking. While dying was expected on the list of phobias, very few experts anticipated more participants to report that they were more afraid of speaking than dying. The thought of giving an address before a group has caused many a brave person to breathe a little harder, get sweaty palms, and experience an increased heart rate. Why is this? Perhaps for some of us, it is a lack of trust in our ability to communicate. We are afraid that our minds will go blank and we will forget what to say. Amen. Perhaps we are concerned that our words will come out as a jumbled mess of confusion or contradiction. And I see that in the life of Moses. And I assume that you are like me. Because of that, maybe not the humanist side of us, maybe it's our training. I don't know what it is, but when we stand up in a group of people, we have a tendency to be shy or backward. At least I do. Bruce does not have that problem. But his wife, is that right? Todd, I'm sorry, Bruce. You look like Bruce. I'm sorry, Todd. You are what we call in Alabama a tall drink of water. Right there. But anyway, in our text we see Moses saying, who am I? Who am I? And when you take into consideration the opportunities that we have as Christians, in God's eyes we are something. In our eyes we are small. And that's okay. Let's keep it that way. But look, if you would, turn your Bibles to John chapter 15. If you would, John chapter 15. And we'll go through just a few scriptures here and go through some of these thoughts. But remember, he said, who art thou? And he said, I am. Who am I? Who sent me? He said, tell them I am that I am. Look at John 15, 16. This is Jesus Christ speaking. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So when we talk about chosen, okay, he has put the responsibility of the carrying the gospel upon each one of us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And he says he's ordained you. You know what that means? That's a big word for equipped. Because when, Connor will, I assume you're going to be ordained here at some point in the future. That is when you are questioned to make sure that what you are proclaiming is true. And you're equipped and you're gifted. And it is verified that you are. And the Lord Jesus Christ does the same thing. Notice what it says, chosen, sent by God, ordained, equipped with a message. Who am I? You are somebody that's important because you are put there in the plan of God to share the gospel with someone. And we talked about that all week on some very practical bottom shelf applications and some things to help us. But if you would, look at Exodus chapter 4, verse 1 through 9, because we're talking about who am I? I'm a person of many excuses. And we saw the first one with Moses. Who am I? The second one, Lord, I'm not adequate. Chapter 4, beginning of verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said, and I like this, if you look through scriptures and look at the questions that God has, it starts in Genesis when he asks, where are you? And do a study on that sometime. It is very interesting, the questions that God asks of us. But verse 2, and the Lord said unto him, what is in thy hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it to the ground. And he cast it to the ground. It became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore, okay, not only I'm going to give you one thing, I'm going to give you another one here, since you're kind of weak, Mr. Moses. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. When he took it out, behold, his hand was as leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And when he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And the third one, and it came to pass that they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the land. So he's authenticating his message, certainly, and his messenger, but this is the excuse. Lord, what is in thy hand? And I would have you recall what Isaiah said in Isaiah 41:10. If you would turn there, Isaiah 41:10, and this happens to be the very important scripture verse in my life, because this is my wife's favorite verse, and it's on her headstone. But it says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Very interesting how the Lord gives Moses three examples of how I'm going to help you authenticate the message that you're carrying. And here we see three different things. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He's saying, I am with thee. And then also 2 Timothy 3:16, if you would, 2 Timothy 3:16, and you guys probably know this, and study thyself, approved unto God, a what? Workman that needeth not to be ashamed, doing what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? What's in thy hand? What is in thy hand? Everything you need, it's right here. Just show it to them. Let them read it. Let them tell you what it means to them, Gary. That's God. And he's helping way back to a guy that has a lot of excuses named Moses. And as I read this and I apply these things to my life, I am without excuse. I have the completed word of God here. Moses had used things to authenticate the message of God. We have it all right here. And how much are we, what are we doing with it? Really, really, how much do we share it? And this is not boastful in any way, but I feel for foreign missionaries. Because God has given the port ministry, it's given myself and my two young guys that are helping. He's given us a unique responsibility, but it's a serious one. Because you think about a guy that wants to go to Russia. Okay? It's hard. It takes 3, 4, 5 years to raise enough money, correct, to get there. They don't like you there unless you're fluent in their language. It takes a while to learn Russian, correct? And what a joy it is for a missionary has been on the deputation 3, 4, 5 years to be able to set across from a Russian soul that is seeking a relationship with Jesus Christ but really doesn't know him, to take and turn that Bible around to him in his language and let him read it. Man, when you spend all that time and all that energy and all that money, all that sacrifice to get there, and you can have him read the Word of God, what a blessing that is. But you know what? We get to do it every day if we want to. We have Russians all over the place. And Ukrainians. And we have Vietnamese. And we have guys from Thailand. And all of these countries. And that's why we keep New Testaments and other scriptures in their language. They're conversant in English. But when you take a Chinese guy who wants to know if it's true, this confusion of languages that he heard about many thousands of years ago, is that true? And you can take the word of God in his language and turn around and have him read it. He goes, it is true. Yes, it is true. And everything else that's in this book is true. It's exciting. But we need to authenticate the message sometimes by what's in our mouth and what's in our heart and just talk to people and use the word of God. So, Lord, I'm not adequate. I beg to differ. And that, as we say down south, that don't hold water if you're God and you're talking to God. It don't hold water. Okay? So, thoroughly equipped. You are thoroughly equipped. If you are not thoroughly equipped, get thoroughly equipped. It's right here. Cover to cover. Just love people. Okay? Just love people. It's amazing what God will do when you love people. And Luke 10:27 is a good example of that. Thirdly, okay, Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. We're just about there. Exodus 4, 10 through 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Ooh, another excuse. And the Lord said unto him, question, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I, the Lord, all capitals, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Elohim? Now therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Lord, I can't talk. Who hath made thy mouth? Look at Psalm chapter 19, if you would. give a couple more scriptures and make a quick application, and we'll go on. We'll blow on out of here. How's that sound? Okay, Psalm 19:14. This is a special scripture verse to me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth, okay? There's another part there that's really important. It says the meditation of my heart. What is driving your words that come out of your mouth? When you're dealing with somebody about life and death, spiritual, and I'm not talking about just physical, I'm talking about eternal. What is your motivation? Are you like Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch? Are you listening? Or are you thinking on whatever the next point is in your presentation? That's a practical way of saying, what are we meditating on in the heart? With my heart I meditate, the words of my mouth. Isaiah 55:11, correct? Remember what that scripture says. Has anybody got it memorized? Now's your chance. Okay, let's look at it. Isaiah 55:11. And it doesn't have to be a big rolling dissertation on the Godhead or anything like that. Look at what chapter 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. This is our Lord speak, really, through Isaiah. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. It's going to come back. And it might just be a seed plant. It might be a watering. You might get to present the whole gospel to the person. They might come to Christ. But God has a promise on that word that goes out. It will not return unto him void. We don't have an excuse. The meditation of my heart. What will happen? And let me give you one scripture verse here, and we'll be pretty much finished here. Look at 2 Corinthians, if you would. Chapter 5. And verse 21. And I have a demonstration I use with this many times on the vessel that seems to be helpful because it's a word picture. But it says in 5:21, and really it kind of goes along with Isaiah chapter 53 and 2 Peter 3:9 and Romans 1:17. It says, for he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You take that exchange and you explain that to a guy. A lot of times I'll take a jacket and I have white, I have some white, what you would call lab coats. And I buy about 10 or 15 at a time. And I will have one of the guys that we have a preaching service on. I'll have him come up and stand in front. And I'll put one of these white jackets on him. And then I'll have the guys start naming some sins. Because the thing you want to do is to help a person understand they're a sinner. Correct? And so they will name the sins and they'll grin and they'll have fun with it. And, you know, you talk about adultery and it goes quiet because you use the scripture. If you look on a woman to lust, you've already created. Ooh. Because you know what their number one problem is upon a ship when you're at sea for 6 to 9 months? Okay, you know what it is. And they name it. And then I will take that jacket and I'll have another fellow sitting over here in a brand new white, beautiful jacket. He's snickering. And I said, okay, now he's our Lord. Okay? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And Filipinos are great at this. Is there any sin in Jesus Christ? No, sir. He's perfect. He's born of a Virgin Mary. Never sinned. Okay, right. So, we have a picture. The sinner. Dirty. What does this guy deserve? Well, he deserves to go to hell. Then you come over here and you take the jacket off of this guy. take the jacket off of the Lord Jesus Christ. You set it aside. You take the one with all the marks on it, and you put it on who was, in their minds, Jesus Christ. And you take that clean one, and you put it over here on this guy. You know what? That's the finished work of Jesus Christ. He didn't do anything. The only thing he could do was accept the gift that was placed upon him. Sometimes it's just simple things like that, folks. It doesn't have to be glowing words. It's just the simplicity of Scripture. And I would say, demonstrate that, folks, at Amboy, Alabama. I almost said Amboy, Alabama. Wow. Am I ready to go home or what? Amboy, Illinois. Just live a thank you life. Just live a thank you life. If you physically can't go, if you physically can't visit with somebody, there may be a time in our lives that we are handicapped physically and can't get out of the house. Let me read you a poem that will help you with this. And I will tell you that this ought to be a heart for all of us, whether we can walk, talk, and do everything we're supposed to do. This was not written to sit on the shelf somewhere, but rather to penetrate your heart with the awful, piercing truth. Someone's eternal destiny is in your hands. Someone will die and go to hell unless you pray. Okay? As a missionary, brother, same sister, the greatest thing that you can do to support us is pray for us. I sincerely mean that. Please, please pray. But this is what is called traveling on my knees. Last night I took a journey to a land across the seas. I didn't go by ship or plane. I traveled on my knees. I saw so many people there in bondage to their sin, and Jesus told me I should go, that there were souls to win. But I said, Jesus, I can't go to lands across the seas. He answered quickly, yes, you can, by traveling on your knees. He said, you pray, I'll meet the need. You call, and I will hear. It's up to you to be concerned for lost souls far and near. And so I did. I knelt in prayer, gave up some hours of ease. And with the Savior by my side, I traveled on my knees. As I prayed on, I saw souls saved and twisted persons healed. I saw God's workers' strength renewed while laboring on the field. I said, yes, Lord, I'll take the job. Your heart I want to please. I'll heed your call and swiftly go by traveling on my knees. Something all of us could do. We have some excuses. But I would have you turn in one last scripture, and then we're going to go home. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4:2. This just came across my mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, well, look at verse 1 and 2. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Steward. That means to be careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. We are stewards of the gospel. Secondly, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. That's something all of us can do. We can be like Moses and have lots of excuses. But one thing that you don't have to be real versed in all the theology. You don't have to be an excellent speaker. You may not be extremely gifted. But each one of us can be faithful. So let's do that, okay? Let's make a difference. On some, have compassion. Making a difference. God can use anybody. If he can use a kid from Akron, Colorado that was thrown on his head too many times by a horse, and run over by a steer, and has no idea what he's doing on a ship in Alabama. That's crazy. Well, he can use anybody. So God is good. He's entrusted the word to us. Let's be faithful. Let's share what we can. Let's show them our heart. And let's just love people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Pastor, thank you.